What is day to day like now for you? It's different for everybody. What's your story?
I'm actually still in mini here. And honestly, I try to keep kind of the same type of routine, getting up in the morning, riding the bike, still trying to do some work. We've been off for a while now, but myself and the coaching staff have put together a mini training camp type of deal with anticipation of coming back. So setting up our videos and practice plans and what have you. But obviously that didn't take a whole lot of time. So we're still just kind of, you know, picking away at a few things and then just try to stay in some kind of routine, get some fresh air and try to just continue to, stay present, I guess, and just watch and see how this thing unfolds.
Berkey?
Dino, where are you living in Minnesota?
I actually live right downtown, Berkey. Good to speak with you. It's been a long time, but I live right downtown St. Paul. My wife and I have an apartment about six blocks from both of our practice rink and the game rink in an old heritage building here that's been converted. Absolutely love it.
It's a great place. I grew up in Edina on the other side of the river, but nice place. So part of this, we've had almost, by the end of next week, we'll have had every NHL head coach on. And we've asked a lot of them their path. So take us how you got from your first coaching job in Kamloops to the NHL. It took you a while, but you're there now.
Boy, yeah. I got my first start with Andy Murray. I was a player assistant coach with Team Canada. I finished in the NHL, 94. I don't even know, 4 or something like that, 95, 93, I don't even know what year it was. But anyway, Andy came to me in Brandon, Manitoba. We're both from Brandon, Manitoba. My parents were living there. And he came to me in the summer and said, do you want to, what's your plan? And I had a couple of American League offers, didn't have any NHL deals, didn't have anything from Europe. And he said, if you want to get into coaching, he said, I've got a player assistant job. And at that time, we had a Team Canada for a full season. So we traveled, I think we went to 12 countries around the league or around the world, playing in national tournaments, international tournaments and exhibition games and what have you. And so I was involved in the practice plans, doing in meetings, all of that kind of stuff, but yet still playing at a very high level. Was fortunate at the end of that year to go to the World Championships with Andy. I was the only player that was not in the NHL to play on that team, and fortunately we won in Finland and won the World Championships. And then I actually got a couple of years in Europe. After that, I had a couple of chances to go a few places to still play, and played in Germany for a couple of years. And then Dean Clark gave me the opportunity to come back. Dean Clark and Kelly Kissio were with the Calgary Hitmen, and so I came back to Calgary and helped them out with the Calgary Hitmen. We went to the Memorial Cup in Ottawa. We lost in the final there, which was disappointing, but still exciting. And then I got my job. I got an opportunity to coach in Kamloops. So coached 3 years there, a couple of years in Vancouver. One with the Calgary Hitmen again, a co-coach of Kelly Kissio, and then I was able, Glenn Hamlin gave me an opportunity to be assistant coach with the Washington Capitals. Was there for 8 years as an assistant coach with three different head coaches, Glenn Hamlin, Bruce Boudreau, and Dale Hunter. And then I went on from there, figured I had to figure out how to, coach and be a head coach in the American Hockey League and coach men. So I coached the Milwaukee Admirals for 7 years. And then I got the job here last year with the Minnesota Wild. So it's been quite a ride. Been a lot of fun, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Being joined by Dean Evason, he's the interim head coach of the Minnesota Wild on Hockey Central. Anthony Stewart, go ahead. You're on with the mini coach.
Yeah, I'm sure it's tough, getting your first NHL coaching job, but even tougher doing it mid-season. How important is it to have veteran leadership in the room to help with your first head coaching job, mainly, Eric Staal, Parisi, Koivu, and Sutter?
Yeah, you know what? All those guys have been fantastic. I mean, obviously it was a in a bad situation when something like that happens. Learned so much from Bruce, obviously from Washington, and then here. But as you guys know, we all know it happens in our game, and it happens pretty frequently. And so yeah, not only that, but the assistant coaches, Bob Woods, Darby Hendrickson, Bob Mason, obviously Billy Guerin, has been around, and so we all leaned on each other, and as well as with the veteran presence of our group, and fortunately we were able to come together pretty quickly, and we didn't make a whole lot of changes. Very difficult to do that, obviously through at that point in the season, but we did tweak a few things, and a few things more. Internally, mentally, I guess, more than physically, as far as our system stuff. But so we were fortunate to have guys buy in to a couple of the few changes that we were able to put into place, and everybody played hard. And yeah, we were excited about where we were at. We were playing really well. We were playing hard. We were playing for each other. And unfortunate this unfolded when it did.
Interim head coach of the Minnesota Wild, Dean Evason, with us. And I'll just ask you, Dean, point blank, because it's turned into one of the real good stories around the NHL. And I know you'll probably, defer praise to someone else, but how did you get through to Kevin Fiala? He looks like such a different hockey player now.
I had Kevin with the Milwaukee Admirals for 2+ seasons. Under the radar, there wasn't a lot of video, obviously. Kevin and I had some serious growing pains together. there's times when I suspended Kevin. There's times when Kevin wasn't very happy with me. There's times when I sat Kevin on the bench. There's times, there's a lot of different coaching moments, teaching moments, life moments for a young European player coming over. Wanting to be in the NHL, not understanding why I have all this skill and talent and how come I'm not in the Nashville Predator uniform and I'm in a Milwaukee Admiral uniform with you here and playing in Iowa or wherever. And we had a lot of growing pains. And to Kevin's credit, he went through it. We both, no grudges, when we circled back here, he obviously came here and last year and he had some more learning to do and all young players do, but in particular guys like that, certainly a player from Switzerland, coming over and the skill level, like I said, that he didn't want to be in the American Hockey League. So Kevin did the work. He did the work not only physically, but he did it mentally. And I just think he was ready, regardless of what happened with the coaching staff. Kevin Fiala was ready to break through when he broke through. And you guys see his talent level, but what he's changed and what's different now is that he is a real great teammate, and I think that's allowed him to have success.
It's a great answer, Berkey.
You know what, Dino? The Hartford Whalers coaching pipeline is scary. It's amazing. How many guys off those teams have gone on to be coaches? You, Dave Tippett, Todd Richards, Joel Quenneville, Kevin Dineen. To what do you attribute that?
Well, I did a few articles. We all have, and interviews about it. And you can put yourself in that. Like, I don't even think it's just coaching. It's just people in the game that are still in the game that have been affected by the Hartford Whalers. Like I talk now, like there's still a Hartford Whaler fan club. There's still it's amazing how many people don't even watch the NHL know who the Hartford Whalers are and pick out players. So I don't know, Berkey. I mean, I talked about it the other day about that team in particular that we had in 85-86, where we went, we lost to the Montreal Canadiens in Game 7 in the Montreal Forum in overtime. Claude Lemieux scores in Patrick Waugh's first year. Claude Lemieux's first year was my first year. It was so many of us were all the same age. Ronnie Francis was probably the best quiet leader that you've ever seen. I mean, he was just, but he was 20. I think he was 21 years old. I think something like that. We're all like mid 20s, so we basically grew up together. So I don't know. I honestly, the answer is I don't know. I don't know why we've all been, I guess, stayed in the game, but you know, the coaches aspect of it, I don't know why we've had success, you know, as from players to transition to coaching. But I do know that group was extremely close. We always, I think it's been told several times, but we came home from that series and we had a parade in downtown Hartford for losing in the Avs Division finals. But it was crazy. But we were such a close-knit group. We talked, we stayed in Hartford. We went on holidays together. We talked hockey all the time. So maybe that had something to do with it.
Go ahead, Bernie. Oh, sorry, Jeff. I have one follow-up question. I have a theory on it. I think Mr. Francis put such an emphasis on character is why. And I look back at what Mr. Keith Allen did when I played in the Flyers organization. Our Calder Cup team in 77, 78, nine guys went on to NHL coaching or management careers. And that's because of the character they stressed. That's what I think happened. I think Mr. Francis put so much emphasis on character on his teams. Those are the guys that turn into coaches.
Well, you know what, too, Berkey? You know, Emil Francis was obviously wonderful. He was such a personable guy, and you're right on the people that we had. We're very team-oriented people. We didn't have, you know, the individuals. And if we did, you know, like I said, Ronnie Francis was such a team player that he led us in the right direction. But a guy that I think a lot of people forget and was our first coach, or mine anyway, when I was there, is Jack Tex Evans. And Tex was the same way. Like, we didn't have video back then. We didn't have systems. We didn't know what we were doing in a neutral zone or a forecheck. But what we did know is that we were a team. We were very close. He wanted us to go out together. He wanted us to stay in together. He wanted us to fight together. He wanted us to play together. So I think that was a big factor as well in being part of the leadership of that Whale group.
You know what I think of, Dean? And we're with Dean Evason, the interim head coach of the Minnesota Wild. When I think of Dean Evason, I think of the Hartford Whalers. I think of the leg line with Paul Lawless and Stu Gavin. What made that one click, Dean?
Not my legs, I'll tell you that. Because I always used to joke that I was the hands of the leg line, and I didn't have great hands either. I scored freaking six a year. But you know what? We just clicked, yeah. Stewie Gavin could fly, as you guys know. Yep. Anthony may not know, but Paul Lawless, same thing, could fly. And honestly, like, I would throw pucks out into the middle of the ice, and they would just skate into it. It was just awesome to play with both those guys. And same thing, like, I stayed in contact with – that's the other thing that you do when you have a team like that. And, you know, people talk about, you know, you stay in contact with teams and guys when you win and all that kind of stuff. Well, we didn't win in Hartford. We didn't win a cup. But we were such a close-knit group. And even if it's not, like, a daily conversation or even a monthly conversation, when we see each other, it's just like we've never left. Like, seeing Dave Tippett this year going through – in Edmonton, it's just like we were sitting on the bus again, riding from Boston to Hartford on the bus after a game, and sitting there and having a beer and talking hockey, and that's what we did. But yeah, those two guys were tremendous skaters, and you don't see that kind of character stuff anymore. Like, teams don't get lines don't get named, and the nicknames aren't talked about a lot anymore. But you don't get a lot of that anymore. But boy, yeah, that was a fun line to play on for sure.
That was a lot of fun. Stewie, over to you.
You were talking recently just about Kevin Fiala, and you mentioned how you had to give him that tough love approach. A player that sort of reminds me of that is Alex Galchenyuk. You coming, you know, from the minors and coaching in the minors, where it was more of a development league, do you feel like it's a more of a personal mission to try to get his game going and get his career back on track?
You know, that's a good question, Stewie, because, you know, we heard all the stuff. You guys have heard all the stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That Galley's this, Galley's that. when he came to us, we said, who cares? Like, who cares? Yeah. And certainly when we took over as a coaching staff, I don't care what happened to Galley in the past. Who cares? Like, he can't do this, he can't do that. Well, he can do whatever he puts his mind to right now and today in this hockey game. And he, you know, again, like Kevin Fiala did the work, Galley was unbelievable. Like, we started him on left wing, and then we were struggling with center icemen, trying to fit guys in. I think Luke Cunning got hurt. We were moving him over to center. And, you know, we had a decision to put somebody there, and we decided to put him in the middle. We asked him to compete. That's it. Again, he has the skill level, as we all know, to play the game. Like, he can score goals. He can make passes, all that kind of stuff. All he has to do is just commit and compete. And he did that. And he played a heavy, heavy game. If you watched any of our games, yes, he can skate, he can shoot, score, blah, blah, blah. He played a heavy game. He was physical. He was involved. He was committed each and every night. And he did a great job for us. So I think that's what happened, I think, was he was able to do that. We asked him to do that, but he did the work. And as I said, we just forgot about the past and went forward. And hopefully if we get this season going here, he can continue to do that because, you know, he was a big part of why we were having a bit of success there at the end.
This has been a lot of fun. Dean, wish we had more time. Thanks so much for spending part of your morning with us. Much appreciated. And best of luck to you, your family, in getting back to yet another new normal, one that we're used to, and that's with the Minnesota Wild on the ice. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Well, thanks, guys. You guys are on RTV in the office all the time, as I'm sure every NHL coaching room has the same thing. Really, really like watching you guys and listening to your insight